Coming up on podcast 1140, Rivian confirm the plans to expand beyond the US. Stick around, I've got all the details for you. Also on the podcast today, full self-driving arrives for Tesla beta drivers. The EU Commission looks at mandating how close charging stations have to be on highways. And Sweden is rocketing for EVs. Plus, of course, we'll answer your question of the week and set a brand new one. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Sunday, 11th of July. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. We'll start with news about Tesla's full self-driving beta version 9. Catchy title, but it's something that many people are excited about, certainly those within the Tesla community, sending out over-the-air software updates as of now for their long-awaited full self-driving beta version 9, which is definitely not autonomy. It's just a very, very good driver assistance system, says Tesla. The Tesla fans will have you believe that this is magic, but Tesla don't want regulators to know that because then they'd have to apply for a license to do autonomous testing of cars. So it's simply a very good level two system, according to the lawyers at Tesla. Well, The Verge reporting that software update is now uploading to the cars. If you are a Tesla fan looking out for this and you're in the beta program, it's 2021.4.18.12. And it started uploading around midnight on Friday. Thousands of Tesla owners who purchased full self-driving now get access to the feature. I gather that the beta rollout of this kind of city streets version of the software was a handful of people at the beginning. Then it was widened and widened. I can't find the answer to this from the forums or anything. Is this going to everybody in the beta program? It's called Early Access Program, and you know, I don't know how many people are in that. Does this go to every single person in the US, at least, not around the world, that's part of Tesla's beta program? Or is it still that closed group of influencers who have to sign that contract that say they won't post any videos of it going wrong, only post the good stuff on YouTube, etc.? What stage is this at? I'd like to understand. I've looked loads of places and I just can't find a definitive. Everyone's got an opinion. I can't find a definitive answer. Elon Musk has been promising V9 of the software for a while. In 2018, he said the long-awaited version of full self-driving would roll out that August. Then in 2019, it was about a year away. And then in 2020, there would be a million cars with full self-driving. Let me just check the stats. Yes, there's not a million self-driving Teslas around. Well, finally, this is being rolled out to people, and I've seen the early YouTube videos posted from people that literally went out at 2 o'clock in the morning when their car updated. Some people say that this is, you know, a night and day, pardon the pun, this was done at night, improvement. Somebody posted one in fog. Somebody posted one saying, it can see round corners. Well, it obviously can't, but they're like, oh my goodness, there's a car around the corner. The car can't see it, and yet it magically knows it's there. No, it really can't do that. And lots of people saying it's about the same as it was before. So, you know, have a look at those videos. Decide for yourself. As always with Tesla, when people ask me my opinion of it, the technology is incredible. The expectations are even higher. So if the cars do anything less than fly you to the moon, there's inevitably disappointment, which is a weird situation to be in, because actually when you look at these videos of it driving around in, you know, okay, so US roads, like not roundabouts and stuff, nothing super crazy, it's brilliant. It's driving at sensible speeds, not doing anything dangerous, the videos that I've seen. But again, this could be the people uploading videos only put the positive stuff, because you've got to be really careful with this. Release notes included on the update warn that the testers that it could do something wrong at any time. The actual phrase Tesla uses, this may do the wrong thing at the worst time. Please avoid complacence. They also mention improvements to the cabin, cameras, driver monitoring. Not sure how they're doing that, because it doesn't use any kind of anything else apart from simply the camera that's facing back into the cabin, but they are monitoring attentiveness from the drivers, larger visualizations on the in-car display. Like I say, everything I've seen looks deeply, deeply impressive on this, but I'd like to know your thoughts. Maybe you've even got it. Are you allowed to even talk to me off the record on email? I don't know how closed off they are being on this, but I'd like to understand some more. Next, EU Commission is planning charging infrastructure requirements for its member states. According to a media report, the EU Commission is telling its member states the concrete requirements for high-powered charging. Their eagerly awaited Fit for 55 climate package is going to be published on the 14th of July, and one leak suggests that member states in the European Union will be told they have to guarantee high-performance charging stations every 60 kilometres along the most important European motorways, done by 2025. Electrive says that for heavy transport, the member states will be mandated to put hydrogen filling stations in every 150 kilometres. Oof, it's going to be expensive. No one will use them. The draft regulation on the infrastructure for alternative fuels also contains precise specs on how powerful the charging stations must be in the year 2025, 2030 and 2035. I mean, it's good they're being specific because politicians can get a bit confused by these things sometimes, so it's good, but I hope they're ambitious with it, because you want high-powered charging, which I would say is, well, some people say is 350. You could argue is 150 kilowatts or more, and certainly you would then sweep up most of the fast-charging EVs on the market, but if you mandate 350 kilowatt fast-charging stations or high-powered charging stations, you are certainly taking into account many cars that will be on the market by 2025 and able to accept those speeds. I'll pop a link to the source in the show notes. Next, Rivian officially confirms their European sales plans. Rivian is making plans to begin sales over here in 2022. The company has now confirmed they will deliver both vehicles, the R1T, which is the truck, and the R1S, the SUV, in Europe. Orders will open early 2022. So many of my listeners are going to be delighted to hear that, because I know those Rivian vehicles are high up many, many people's wish lists. The information came from the Rivian Owners Forum via email from Rivian's Customer Engagement Center as a reply to a customer over here in Europe. The email says that expect Rivian sales to begin early 2022. According to Inside EVs, Rivian's plans for Europe have been under speculation for the last few months, when it was reported they were looking for a factory location in the UK, Germany and Hungary, along with a job posting for a senior analyst for EMEA, which is Europe, Middle East and Africa, and also a rumour there would be smaller Rivian models for European and Chinese markets as well. So we know now, early next year. So, I mean, early, I would say, is the first 4 months of the year. They have to put those vehicles on sale to hit those targets. All right, coming up on the podcast, we will look at the Hyundai Ioniq 6. The prototype vehicle was pretty spectacular, but what are those spy shots that are out there making it look like? We will find out, and we'll take a look at the Volvo C40 Recharge. Stick around. Okay, let's talk about the MG, the MG ZS EV, the little budget SUV, has toppled Tesla in the hot market of Sweden. 50% of passenger cars in Sweden last month were plug-ins, so either a full battery or a plug-in hybrid, with the Chinese-made budget MG ZS EV beating out the Tesla Model 3 for the top spot. I've been looking at that car recently because we're thinking about what to do with the Zoe this year. So the Zoe will go, but it's how big do we go, as in money. So the Zoe is now too small for us with lots of kiddie stuff, which we didn't. We thought we'd get by, but we can't, so we need a bigger car. And much as I love the car I'm driving at the minute, I've got the Hyundai Kona for a couple of months with the big battery. Can't afford that. But maybe the smaller battery. So again, ultimate spec, but small battery. Can we do that? 39 kilowatt hour. We don't do road trips. That'd do us. Or the e-Niro. That'd do us. But actually, looking at maybe the MG ZS EV, a used one, £18,000 or £19,000 now on the used market. People I know that have had them love them. I know one couple that got shot of theirs after so many problems. So, I don't know. That's kind of holding me back, because the guys that I know that got rid of theirs are kind of EV experts and they know what they're talking about. So I don't know. We'll wait and see. Before a sweeping shift in Sweden's tax code came into effect on the 1st of July, the EV sales skyrocketed as vehicles registered before the tax change get taxed by the old rates, say thedriven.io. Well, June EV sales were always going to be juiced by fleet owners and dealers registering plug-in models to take advantage of the old tax rate. The consistent changes and fluctuations in Sweden's tax code and EV sales have pushed the country's EV market to be as big as Norway, which we always talk about, Norway being the shining light. Less than 100 units separated Sweden from their neighbour in Norway. Norway did 69,367 plug-in sales. Sweden, 69,280. So just behind them. Maybe by the end of the year, they will leapfrog in front. But by the look of it, Sweden will have a bit of a lull now for a couple of months in this summer. Scandinavian countries tend to take a pretty extended summer break as well. And so maybe those sales will be down. We'll know by the autumn where it stabilizes out. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Next, the Hyundai Ioniq 6 has been spied. They previewed the Ioniq 6 with a prophecy concept. It looked like a low-slung, sleek sedan. Obviously no handles, no door mirrors. Very prototype-y car-y. But now, well, concept car-y, now the prototypes have actually been spotted on the roads in South Korea. This, obviously, you know, I've got subtitles, but I don't speak Korean. But I can get the gist of what they're saying because these cars are out there now with the camouflage on, but they've kept the cameras for mirrors. And they've got little, a bit like the e-tron, little screens inside the doors where the video feed is displayed inside the A-pillars. Not unheard of to see this technology in cars, not legal in countries like the US, but we've often seen it in luxury cars like Audi e-trons and Lexus and the new Genesis. According to carscoops.com, the Hyundai Ioniq 6 will resemble the prophecy, but the styling will be toned down because it was very swoopy and futuristic. The flush door handles will go, they'll be conventional, but at the minute, the cars driving around are using those cameras for door mirrors. Well, if that makes sense. Hyundai has said the Ioniq 6 will arrive in 2022 as a secondary volume leader, whatever that means. I think I know what it means. That serves as a replacement for the car that's actually called the Ioniq, or Ioniq. How am I meant to say it? My friend James is always getting annoyed with me on Twitter. Ioniq? Ioniq. Anyway, that car goes as a car, but as the name, which now is the, the Sonata-sized EV will ride on the EGMP platform, 73 kilowatt hour battery pack, and can't wait for that to arrive next year, especially if it has, you know, cameras for mirrors. Brilliant. Jumpers for goalposts. Love it. Next, Volvo C40 Recharge is their second stab at a solid EV, writes Engadget. The XC40 and C40 are basically the same vehicle. They have, and the Polestar 2, on the same platform, CMA platform, in case you're interested, nerds amongst us. The C40 and XC40 are identical. 78 kilowatt hour battery pack, 75 usable, 408 horsepower, 0 to 60 miles an hour, 4.7 seconds. But a Volvo rep told Engadget this week the company envisions drivers using level 3 DC fast charging stations, so the high power chargers, along commutes. So they're focused on ensuring their cars can recharge really quickly, but on the presumption that people will stop for 5 or 10 minutes at a time, but they'll use level 2 charging at home, which is why they've kept the very fast charging. Is it 150 kilowatts on this car? The XC40 is a traditional SUV. The C40 is the same car, but they've taken the hacksaw to it, and it swoops down at the back. As my buddy Kyle from his Outer Spec channel often says, you pay more money and get less car. I don't know if this will be more money, but I certainly love the styling more than the SUV. It's a bit shorter as well, 3 inches shorter in total. XC40 on sale now, but the C40 hits US streets at the very beginning of 2022. That's a car that I really, really love the styling of, by the way, the C40 from Volvo. Okay, question of the week time right now with emobilitynorway.com, and every so often, Jan Tore from E-Mobility Norway does chip in with question of the week. His company sponsors us for this feature, but occasionally he answers it as well, so we'll put him first today. He says, as a perfect match of comfort, practicality, performance and price, the car I would drive for the next 3 years, if I could drive no other, would be what we've just talked about, the Volvo XC40. The best seats, lots of space, he says. Undoubtedly an incredible EV. I have one nag on that is the range is lower for the battery size, like 200 and something, 210, 220 miles is not the best efficiency out there. And I think Volvo are working really hard to fix that with subsequent models and even updates as well. I don't know, but I know that was its kryptonite, if you like. The best seats, he says, for our use. Kayaks on the roof and dragging the trailer when needed. I signed up for a subscription, he says Jan, of the XC40 with Care by Volvo. The plan was to have it in January for a few months and change it to another one of their models, but I still have the car. I don't want to change it. I did book a Fjord Blue C40, the perfect vehicle and colour for driving around, so he might get that, I'm guessing, next year. He'll drive the C40 in the south of Norway to the north in November, he says. I'm looking forward to hearing his impressions. It should be the same car, just different styling. So yes, we were asking you this week, if you could drive only one EV for the next 3 years, what would it be? And you can't, you know, drive anything else. Rajiv Narayan says, if I had to drive one car, it would be the Tesla Model Y. I do 80 miles a day, and our non-Tesla infrastructure in Texas is actually quite poor. For longer trips, we use our plug-in hybrid Bolt. My Chevy Volt, sorry, but my Bolt has over 100,000 miles on it. I'm looking at the Model Y to replace it. Granton Smith says, I already have it, the Model 3 Standard Range Plus. It's a compromise car for me because in good old fossil fuel loving Australia, they're not spoiled for choice. He says, I wouldn't consider anything else than a Tesla because of the supercharging network. But he can travel anywhere in Australia, even as country as big as Aussie. He lives in Central West of New South Wales. Nick Kristen says, my answer is zero. I wouldn't drive an EV for the next 3 years. There's nothing large enough for my family. We have 8 kids. You're right, Nick. You are an outlier. And I mean that with love. And, you know, I don't mean that in any other way. But if you make a life choice to have 8 children, sometimes I pick my words so carefully and they still come out wrong. But, you know, if a person chooses to choose a caravan, a horse box, if you choose to drive 3,000 miles a week, right, that puts you in outlier territory. And of course, Nick, you know, if you have a family of 8 kids, there is nothing to drive EV. And I'm sorry, you know, about that, but you're absolutely right. The car you would drive for the next 3 years, there wouldn't be one. There just isn't one that suits you yet, but I can't wait for them to be something on the market that suits your family. And it must be, I mean, a road trip with you and your kids, it must be a heck of an experience. So whatever you drive, my friend, I wish you the best of luck. I struggle with one. Next, David Johnson says, I actually answered this in real life with my 3-year lease on a Toyota Prius Prime. Here in central New York State, we don't have a lot of charging options. A plug-in hybrid was perfect sense for satisfying my daily driving. 98% of his miles have been EV, but he can take an impromptu road trip with no planning. And it still works. Getting 4.9 miles per kilowatt hour, 20% better than a Tesla. And he doesn't miss the longer range. If he does 33 miles of range on electric, if he could go 50 or 70, he says, he would never, ever need more than that. Michael Lolchak says, if I could drive one car and only one car for the next 3 years, it would be a Model Y long range. The range of the Mach-E is disappointing, and the price of the Mach-E is close enough to the Tesla that we'd be silly not to purchase the Tesla. The problems that Hyundai have had with their batteries and how they have or haven't handled it suggests to me that their user experience hasn't changed, so Hyundai and Kia are not options for us. Mark Richards says, I currently drive a Bolt. I'm looking at the Ioniq 5 all-wheel drive when it's available this fall. If I had to buy an EV today, though, a car that's on the market today, that would be the Bolt EUV. Small, fast, and now with Lane Keep and Super Cruise, second choice would be the ID4. Atlee, I think I would, well, Your name is A-T-L-E. Would I say Atle? Atle? I don't know. I hope I get it right. I'm sorry. I try and be respectful. The only car that I would drive would be the car I have already. VW ID4 First Max. Oh, what a great car, my friend. Plenty of space for luggage and people in that. Long range, quick charging, very comfortable. Over-the-air updates are coming now from VW, and that system looks like it's working pretty well. Ron Barber in San Jose says the current trophy holder of the electric cannonball from the 1st of Jan this year would be my choice. The Porsche Taycan 4S. The reasons: vehicle dynamics, build quality, and charging speed. 260 to 270 kilowatts, all the way to 43%. I know. If people want to watch that electric cannonball run, again, I've mentioned him already. Kyle from Outer Spec did that on the 1st of Jan when the roads were quiet. The point of the cannonball, you know, often in the US is to drive at silly speeds. His wasn't to do that. His was to see how fast he could charge and get across the country. And so there's many charging stops on his run, but the Porsche always pulling a big, big currents. Brendan Hutchins says, I still wait for my Cybertruck reservation and I will try and get by without it. I'm unbelievably excited for my Cybertruck. He says, if for some reason I couldn't wait, I'd get a Ford F-150 Lightning. Mark Orico says, I'm pleased with my Niro and I'm going to have it for 3 years because it's on a lease. Any car in my price range currently available. I'd probably stick with the Neo, if I'm honest. If I was going to get away from my price range, it would be the Porsche Taycan. I'd like the Turbo S, but I accept any of them. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Actually, yeah, no, you know. Beggars can't be choosers and all that. Right, let's set a brand new question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Here's a question for you. What is your ideal stop time when you're doing long-distance road trips? Whether you're driving an EV or not, how long do you want to be stationary for? Forget charging, for instance. If you're doing a road trip, how long do you stop for when you are long distance driving? Just tell me the answer and tell me what you do when you stop. Then we can work backwards and we can work out how far away we are from electric vehicles being a non-issue for extended driving. What's your ideal stop time when long distance road tripping? Email me your thoughts. I'll read them out next Sunday. Hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, thank you so much to everyone who supports the show on Patreon. A mention for our premium partners: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Hello to our partners David and Lisa Allen, Bob Boothby from Millbrook Cottages, 5-star gold self-catering cottages there in North Devon. Absolutely gorgeous. We've been down there ourselves. Go and say hello to Bob and his family at Millbrook Cottages. Darren McCleskey from Denovo Real Estate, Yuka Kukunen from shift2electric.com, Rajiv Narayan, Ian Sear, Juliet Sodergren, and Michael Lumley, all partners of the podcast. Thank you so much for everything you do to keep this show on the air. Hello to exec producers Adrian Bond, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Andrew Green, Andy Nancaro, and Lillian Cass, Asir Khalid, Bjarne Fuchstack, Blunderbuss Jones, Brian Thompson, Bruce Bohannon, Charles Hall, Chris Hopkins, Christopher Barth, Colin Hennessy, who runs CAMS EV, Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, David Finch, David Partington, David Prescott, DCEV, and Don McAllister from ScreencastsOnline.com. Ed Cortine, Eric Hansen, Eru Kiyonu, Nyombi, Frederick Rovick, Gene Rubin, Hedley Wright, Henrik Leisner, Ian Griffiths, Ian Waddy Watkins, Jack Oakley, James Dorr, Javier Camelo Diaz Perez, Jim Morris, John Schroeder, John Vandervoort, John, who is bearding McBeardface at Ken TV, John Manchak, Juan Gonzalez, Kevin Meyerson, Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, Luke Cully, Marcel Ward, and Marty Young, Mike Winter, Nathan Gore Brown, Nathaniel Friedman, Neil E. Roberts from Sussex EVs, Aston, Paul Stevenson, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts from Oxen EVs, Phil Mouchet, Philip Troutman, Raymond Rowledge, Ronnie Kimmick, Ronnie Schneider, Rob from the RS Thinks EV channel on YouTube, Robert Grace, Rupert Mitchell, Seiki Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas JTS, Todd Oakes, The Plug Seeker, and his EV YouTube channel. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.